Thank you, Jesus.
Class is dismissed.
Well, I'm glad you're in the house of the Lord today. And if you're here and if you're listening by internet today, whether right now at this moment or later, I believe this word is for you today. Amen. The word of God changes lives, changes situations, gives us hope, renews passion within us to continue to believe God. And I got the final word, church. We win. Anybody hear me this morning? I say I got the final word. We win.
That's right.
Amen. So you are a winner today. Thank you, Jesus. Don't be distracted by my limp. That could be a message, but I'm not going to preach it today. Hallelujah. Don't be distracted by people's limps. Everybody's got something they're dealing with. Whether it's physically, mentally, emotionally, or whatever, get past beyond what you see and look at the person's heart. So don't look at my limp today. So I'm just going to believe the anointing is going to take over and everything's going to be all right.
Amen.
Amen. So the word that I believe that God has given for me to me today for you is in the cave for now. In the cave for now. And I want to read you 1 Kings 19, starting out. 1 through 10 says, Now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like one of them. Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. And when he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there, while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. He came to a broom brush or a juniper tree, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. I've had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors. Then he lay down under the bush or juniper tree and fell asleep. All at once, an angel touched him and said, Get up and eat. Look around. And there by his head was some bread baked over hot coals, a jar of water. He ate, drank, and lay down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you. So he got up, ate, and drank, and strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night. And the word of the Lord came to him, What are you doing here, Elijah? He replied, I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, tore down your altars, and put your prophets to death with a sword. And I am only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too. Elijah was in a pretty bad predicament, wasn't he? And he's probably making it worse on himself of what he was saying. Amen, but he was speaking the truth. And as I have said before, nothing can be healed until it's revealed. So sometimes we'll have to get things out in the open for it to be dealt with and revealed so a healing can take place. So here was this great man of faith who was running for his life from a woman who was about to take his life. And the word tells us that he ran into the desert. Now, I don't know about you, but a desert would be a bad place to run because it's barren, it's dry, there's no water, there's no life there. But he ran into the desert. The word tells us that Elijah lay down under a broom tree or a juniper tree and went to sleep. And the definition of this word, juniper trees, is to yoke up or to bind. So if you find yourself running from a situation or circumstance, stop for a minute and remember Matthew 11:29. The word tells us, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So Elijah needed to remember that he was yoked up to God. You know, you're yoked up to God through the blood covenant. We're yoked to this word, and God is bound to his word because it's a forever settled word. Amen. So we have to take a moment to rest and to remember that we are bound to God, and we're bound to him. God is bound to his word. So Elijah received enough strength to go on to the Mount Horeb, the place where God had spoke to Moses and had declared that this is holy ground at one time. Where God spoke to Moses out of the burning bush and then declared this is holy ground. And then it says that Elijah went into a cave. So Elijah goes from a mountaintop to a desert to a cave. What a journey. So he goes from being on a mountaintop to land under a juniper tree in the middle of the desert and then on to a cave. So why is Elijah hiding in a cave? So the answer is simply fear. Simply fear. Fear will cause you to make choices that you would never other make otherwise. Amen. Cause you to do things that you wouldn't normally do. Hallelujah. But God's not given us a spirit of fear, church. The Word says He's given us a spirit of power, love, and of a sound mind. So the Bible says Ahab told Jezebel what Elijah had done and how he slew the prophets and called out fire from heaven. And then Elijah, we just read, the Word was sent to him, I'm going to kill you about this time tomorrow. And the Bible says in 1 Kings 19:3, listen, it says, Elijah saw that. When he saw that, what did he see? He had painted a picture in his mind, in his thoughts, of what Jezebel was saying. He could see himself out of fear being killed by Jezebel. Amen. So just as faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word, so does fear come the same way. We're either walking in faith or we're either walking in fear. So if faith comes by hearing the Word over and over again, guess what fear comes by? By hearing the whispers of the enemy over and over again, and you allow them to stay in your mind. So just like the Word, when we hear that Word over and over again, it becomes a part of us till we do nothing but walk and talk the Word. Fear is the same way. When you allow the lies of the enemy that's contrary to the Word becomes whispers in your mind and you begin to replay, you push that recorder button and it begins to play and over again, the fear becomes part of your life, just like faith can. So just as faith comes by hearing, so does fear come by hearing. And that's what drove Elijah into the cave, because he not only heard, but he saw the words of what was going to be done to him. So he ran to the cave. So how many of you ever felt like you've been in a cave? If you've not been, you're going to be. So listen to this message today. And if you are in one, I got good news. You're coming out. It don't last forever. Amen. It don't last forever. So when I think of a cave, I want to hyperventilate, because I don't like closed-in places. And that's a fear. Amen. But when I think about caves, I think of a dry, wet place with things crawling that I don't know what's crawling because it's dark. Amen. So that's my idea of the cave. So we begin to paint a picture in our mind what a cave may be or may look like. But cave means to fall in or down. It means to cease, to resist, or to submit. So we all have heard some people, you know, say over time, it's a slang word people use, well, I guess they just caved in. Well, they just caved in. What does that mean? That means they gave in to the situation, that they gave up or they gave into whatever was going on. So what happened was they just quit. They just quit. So this is just one aspect of the cave. We're going to look at a cave as a different experience today. We're going to look at a cave in a way not to despise the cave, because there are times that it's a good thing to be in a cave because it can provide you for protection. My husband's got me watching Gunsmoke and Matt Dillon. Hallelujah, I love him. But I actually like it, because when we were growing up, we didn't have a TV. I said, we poor, we did not have a TV. Amen. So I didn't watch all the shows that he's introducing me to now. But they were constantly running away into the wilderness, into the desert, and they'd always find a rock or a cave place to hide under for protection. So that's how we're going to look at the cave today, not a dismal place of wet, cold, and dry, and icky things crawling. But we're going to look at the cave as a different aspect today. So it's not a question of why or when, but it's a question of if you go there. We all are going to go there. So we need to know what to do, but just as important as what to do as what not to do sometimes. We could get to the point of thinking, I need to know what to do, but then there's also what do I not do. Amen. So the first thing, don't despise the cave that you may be in at the moment. Amen. So the fact that you're there, don't allow the enemy's whispers to paint a picture on your heart that this is somehow your fault. This is somehow you've done something to cause this. You know, you may have not went to church enough, or all these whispers that the enemy wants to put in your mind as to why you're in the cave. Amen. So the cave may well be at this time in your life the safest place that you could be. Amen. There are times in your life that you're in the cave and you think that you've been run there by the enemy as Jezebel had done to Elijah. You may have got there. Whatever reason that you are there at that moment, just say, I'm here at this moment. I may not like it, but right now I believe that it's the safest place I could be. And I believe that I am hid under the shadow of the Almighty. Glory to God. I am hidden under the shadow of the Almighty. Thank God for my cave right now. I'm just hiding a little while, but I'm coming out. Woo! I'm coming out, glory to God. So don't despise the fact of where you're at right now. You remember there was a man in the Bible by the name of Obadiah. He hid 100 of the Lord's prophets in a cave and sustained them there with bread and water and saved them from Jezebel's hand. Her plan was to destroy every prophet of God from the land. This was a bad, mean woman. She was after every prophet. Why? Because the enemy wants to shut the prophet's mouth. Amen. Because when a prophet begins to decree and declare, there are things that begin to happen. There are things that begin to happen. So this had to be hard for them because you know how prophets are. They are mouthpiece for the Lord. They're usually very bold, very blunt, and they just speak. Amen. So this had to have been hard for them. So I found out that sometimes that God wants to show ourselves. You know, we're to show ourselves that there are times when God says, come away, I'm going to hide you for a little while. And the truth is, to hide yourself, it's just a matter of time that you're coming out. And Elijah had not obeyed the Lord and himself hid himself at the brook of Cherith that time that we read about in Kings. He would have never shown himself on Mount Carmel and called down fire from heaven. But he hid himself away at the brook Cherith. You know, there's been times in my own life, and I'm sure yours too, when I have wanted to pray and lay out before God and moan and cry and bombard heaven with my prayers. But then I've heard the whisper of the Holy Spirit said, Shirley, just be quiet. Just be quiet. Just be quiet. Now's not the time to do that. Hallelujah. So we have to have wisdom and learn the voice of God. So there may be times when God said, just be still. Let yourself stay hid under the shadow of the Almighty and under that covering of the cave and just be still and know that I'm a God. So then Elijah comes to the place called the Mountain of God and he finds the cave there. And 1 Kings 19:8 that we just read, that he came to the cave and lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? It wasn't God wanting to know the location of Elijah. God knew where Elijah was. Just like Adam in the garden when God said, Adam, where are you at? God knew where Adam was at. So sometimes the Holy Spirit may speak to us and say, where are you at? What are you doing here? Hallelujah. It is to get us to thinking, where am I at and what am I doing here? And what are you trying to say to me at this moment, God? So there's somebody, you know, you may know what it feels like to be in a cave, to come to the Mountain of God where there should be glory all around. Have you ever been at that place? And it seems like everybody around you experiencing heaven except you. Everybody else is getting a word except you. And you just know that you're the one that needs the word. Amen. You just know that you're the one that needs the blessing. Hallelujah. So have you ever been there and can't even feel God? And it's those times you find yourself, if you're not careful, questioning your relationship with God. You question whether, you know, you're really anointed or not, or you're really saved or not, or as God has really said that, or maybe I've missed the mark some way. Have I been disobedient? Should I have turned right when I should have turned left? Should I turn left when I should have turned right? So that's what the enemy wants you to do, is begin to question where you're at. It could be that you're experiencing what Elijah experienced. You just may be in a cave for a little while. And that could be the safest place that you could be at this time, is hiding out with God in the cave. And we're going to find out what happens there. So this is exactly what Elijah needed at this point in his life. So sometimes the thing we're trying to get away from, the thing that we're so wanting God to take away, it's the very thing that we may need to stay in the middle of right then. Amen. It may be God saying, don't be moving. Just be still. Just sit down and be still for a little while. Amen. So it could be a time of transition, which means a process of change. And we humans don't like change. We want everything to stay the same. And anytime anything begins to change, things begin to get messed up. And we don't like it because we like to stay in our comfort zone where we're comfortable and we know what's happening, when it's going to happen, how it's going to happen. We like to stay right there in that place. So he was in there. It could be a time of transition, a process of change, an uncomfortable place. And it's okay to be in an uncomfortable place because unless we never get to that place of where we are not uncomfortable, we won't never change. Because we think it's okay to be there. We think it's okay to be there. So the cave can either be a tomb or a womb. It's however you want to look at it. A tomb is a place of death where we lose our vision, where we lose our sense of purpose and our passion. We give up and we want to quit. And when we do that, we eventually wither and die. So we can look at the cave as a miserable place, as that wet, dry place, where we begin to question our relationship with God and why we're there, amen? And that could be a tomb. That could be a place where things are buried and we're like, I give up and I quit. Or the cave could be a womb, a place where God has you at this moment for a greater purpose. A womb is a place to conceive and get ready, prepare to transition to a whole new level. This may be I'm getting ready to be transitioned to a whole other level. Amen. That it's okay that I'm here right now. It's a time of examining my heart. It's a time to be renewed. Amen. It's a time to just to wait on God and to be still. And oh, it's hit uncomfortable sometimes when you have to wait on God. Amen. So a womb is a place to conceive. So a cave can be a womb, a tomb, or a womb. However you want to look at it. So there are times when God may have you in the incubator of time. And when God has you in that incubator of time, you know what happens when a baby's in that incubator? They're being protected. They're kept warm so that when they come out, they can thrive and they can grow to the potential that God has them. And some of you that are listening today that are here, you're just in an incubator of God's time and you just need to be still. Quit trying to wiggle and squirm your way out of some situations that are making you uncomfortable. When God says, if you would just allow me, there's some things going to fall off and you're going to walk into a new level, to a new authority, into a new dimension that you've never walked in before. Amen. There's some gifts and callings that I hear the Lord saying that are within you. But until you allow yourself to be transitioned from where you're at to where I want you to be, you're never going to be able to bring those gifts and callings forth. So allow me to bring about the change that is needed to get you to that place that you will be able to say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I am gifted to prophesy. I am gifted to give a message in tongues. I am gifted to be a prophet in somebody's life, to speak a word to them in due season. And then when you do that, says the Lord, you will see great change, not only in you, but even those around you. So just be still and know that I am God. And even in the midst of that, says the Lord, I will bring a new level of anointing in your life. And as you walk, darkness will have to be dispelled because you are my glory that is seen up on the land at this time. So don't be in a hurry to escape the cave. For I'm putting within you a new anointing. I'm putting within you a new gifting. Yes, says the Lord, you will begin to prophesy like you've never had before. And you will begin to see the winds of change happen. Even as the wind begins to blow, there are things that will go away. There will things that will be blown off. And it's a necessary thing. But just be still and know that I am God. Amen. So there are ministry gifts and callings that are birthed in the cave. It's not about quitting. It's not about giving up. But it's all about knowing that this too shall pass. Hallelujah. You won't be there forever. Glory to God. The cave is a place where we are forced to stop and listen to God say, where are you and what are you doing? Where are you and what are you doing? It's a place where we hear God say, where are you? And it's like I said before, it's not God wanting to know where you're at. He's God. He knows where you're at. He knows you're going forth and you're sitting down and your uprisings. But he's wanting you to look and say, where is the passion I used to have? Where is the zeal that I used to have? Amen. A time of change. It's not God wanting to know where you're at. It's you finding out where you're at. It's a place where we're forced to examine ourselves and begin to take an inventory of our lives and where we're at in our relationship with God. It's where we have to answer the questions. Am I just moving along, or am I moving along in the anointing? Am I just going through the motions of just coming to church because it's a good habit, but is it just something I do because it's Sunday morning? Amen. Or am I just going through the motions of worship and praising God? Or when we begin to sing those songs and we begin to confess and we begin to prophesy through those songs, do we really believe? Do we dare? Are we really believing to dare to believe that all things are possible? Amen. Or is it just an emotion that we've got into a habit of doing, which is a good habit? But sometimes we can get into the motions of just praise and worship because it's just something we're used to doing. Amen. So this is the time we know the cave is a womb place where a new vision is birthed. The womb, a brand new anointing, is being birthed. You will come out with a new, renewed sense of purpose and a renewed sense of passion. See that word that God gave you a long time ago that died? Sometimes things have to die in order to be rebirthed. Amen. So Elijah's tomb looked like it was over for Elijah, but it actually was just the beginning. So I'm here to tell you today that the cave may look like it's over for you, but I want you to know it's just a renewed beginning. It's just a fresh starting place. Hallelujah. And it was just the next launching pad for Elijah's, where Elijah was going to go from there. So, number one, what can we learn from Elijah's cave time? Like I said before, don't despise it. If you're in a cave right now, don't despise being there. Thank God for it. Amen. Thank God for it. So, before Joseph, as you read in the Word, was promoted to the palace, he had to spend time in the pit in the prison. But God promoted him a little bit at a time. Amen. So second thing is you have to stop and you have to wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. And some of us don't like to do that. We're like we're in fast motion. Get this thing done and get it over with. You know, it's like in the mornings. If I know that I'm going to go to work, I don't want to sit around and read the newspaper. I don't want to drink coffee. I don't want to watch the news. I want to get up and go. Now, my husband is the opposite. He can sit there for an hour and then leave. I'm not that way. If I know I have to get out of the house, I want to get up and get going. It's hard for me to be still. Amen. But sometimes we need to rein it in and slow it down and be still and say, it's okay that I'm in this place right now. I may not like it, but that's okay. I'm here for purpose. Amen. I'm here for purpose. So thirdly, we have to listen. And then the second thing is we have to quit looking back. You know, you're not going to, the Bible says, run the race that is set before you. You can't run a race by looking back. You're going to trip and fall over something. You ain't got eyes in the back of your head. Amen. Glory to God. So you have to quit living in regret, because regret's going to get you to the place of nowhere. Amen. So you have to quit looking back. So Elijah was so overwhelmed by the circumstance and the situation at that moment that he couldn't see what was in front of him. All he knew was Jezebel was out after him, and he was getting out of town. Amen. So he was running in fear for his life. And so as far as he was concerned, it was over. Everything that the prophecy, the prophet calling was over for him at that time. But God had another plan. So what was it that caused Elijah to go from his cave into a new anointing, into a place of a fresh anointing? It was a word from God. All you need is one word from God that will turn a situation around. All you need is one word from God that will cause you to see things brand new again. All it takes is one word from God to cause you to see things different. Amen. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, the Bible tells us. And when that word of the Lord came, it brought a new vision, a new sense of purpose, and a new passion. And when Elijah left that cave church, he left with a new anointing. He left with a fresh vision and a passion like he had before. When he left that cave, the fear of Jezebel was gone. Amen. Elijah was no longer looking back. But now he was consumed with the thought, I've got to go forward. I refuse to allow fear to keep me in this cave. I've been in this cave for purpose. I've been at this cave for protection. Hallelujah. And it was the safest place that I could be at this moment. Glory to God. So one word from God turned Elijah's tomb into a womb that says, now is the time. Hallelujah. Now is the time. So his ministry was reborn, and he was a man with a new zeal that went forth. So I believe that the cave has two different type of anointings that we want to look at this morning. It's a place where we are transitioning into the anointing for the future, or like I said, we stay there, we resign ourselves to the anointing of past. Thank God for what happened years ago. I'm looking for the anointing now. I'm looking for a move of God now. We can talk about what happened yesterday all we want to, but I'm looking for something to happen right now. Amen. I need a word of the Lord for now. I'm expecting great things to happen at the Virtuous Woman's Conference. Not what happened last year. Thank God, that was the word of the Lord then. I don't know about you, but I need a word of the Lord right now. Amen. I need a word from the Lord right now. So I'm not going to look back at what happened yesterday. Thank God for it. Now is a new time, a new place, and you will be revived and refreshed to move forward with God. So it's a place where we either transition or we resign ourselves to stay where we're at in the past. And so when Saul was pursuing David, it happened that Saul decided to rest in the cave where David and his men were hiding out. And it came by the sheepcotes, the word says, where was a cave. And Saul went in to cover his feet, and David and his men remained in the sides of the cave. David's men encouraged him to kill Saul, but he would not cause his hand to come against the Lord's anointed. And Isaiah 24:6 says, or 1 Kings says, and he said unto his men, the Lord forbid that I should do this unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth my hand against him. So here in the cave, we find two types of anointing. That was yesterday's king with yesterday's anointing. Saul was a king, and he was anointed, and he had been used of God, and he had done some great things in the anointing. But Saul had failed to make that transition. And that was the difference between Saul and David. Saul decided to stay there. David decided to move forward. It was a new time, a transition, and a new place of anointing for him. Then there was tomorrow's King David, who represents the transition to the flesh, to the new, and to the future. God has a new thing for you. Amen. He has a fresh word for you. So there is the old, and there is the new. So you can either say, okay, I'm leaving this cave, and I'm not changed. I'm going to stay where I'm at. Or you can stay in there until God does what he needs to do in you and leave that cave with a fresh anointing, a new perspective, hallelujah, and a new outlook and a new passion and a new zeal that says God can do it. Amen. That God can do it. That God, now is the time for the word of the Lord. And you know, the old is not bad. I'm not saying that. But if we continue to look at the old, we're never going to walk into the new. Never going to walk into the new. So the cave is the place of change. So when Elijah left the cave, he was fearless. And he was no longer afraid of that which was pursuing him. So what changed at that point? What changed in Elijah that caused him to be that way? I find out that when I allow things on the outside, all this stuff going on out here, as long as it's there, that it's not going to affect me. But at the moment that I allow it to get inside me, that's when it begins to affect you. They can do whatever they want to out here, but my atmosphere around me is peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Amen. All this stuff going on out here, don't allow it to affect you. Don't allow it to get inside of you. Because once it gets inside of you, it starts affecting you. Then when it starts affecting you, it affects all that's around you. So Jezebel hadn't changed her mind about what she was after. The change took place inside the cave where Elijah was at. That's what changed. You know, you're waiting for all these things to change around you. You can't make anything change, any people, any persons change, but you can't allow yourself to be changed. You can't allow yourself to be changed. So maybe Elijah, you feel like Elijah, you're in a cave, like you're at a dead end this morning, like that there's no hope for the future, but I got good news. I have good news for you today. As I said before, you win. And you're not going to have to take the time anymore. Because God has a new place for you, a new anointing, and a new thing. But it's only a temporary condition that you're in right now. So my word to you this morning is that we win. We win in the end. And start celebrating. For you are stepping into your own. Amen. Start celebrating. You are stepping into your own. It may have been this way or that way the last few months or few days. But God says, I'm turning it around. And the Spirit of the Lord says, because you are going to look at things differently. So he says to begin to celebrate, for change has come. Change has come. And you're stepping into your own. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word today. Lord, we thank you for cave experiences. As much as we want to get out of them and we want to run from them, it's a place of change. It's a place of transition. And help us to see it as a womb and not a tomb. Lord, I thank you that you're birthing some things in these people, that you're causing us to go from glory to glory, and that we are not staying the same. We refuse to stay the same. We refuse to operate in yesterday's anointing. But you have a fresh anointing for us, a new place, God. And we thank you for that, Father God. Thank you for your word that's anointed to destroy every yoke in the name of Jesus. Every yoke in the name of Jesus. And thank you for that, God. Lord, I speak a blessing over these people today, that they have your favor this week, God, that they are blessed coming and that they are blessed going, and everything they put their hands to is blessed. And we praise you for that today, God. That you're the God of more than enough. And we choose to allow you to change us, that we can go from glory to glory. And we thank you for that today, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. That your word can change us. And one word from you, Lord, can cause everything to look different. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father God. I speak a blessing all over all of you all. Does anybody need prayer this morning? Anybody want to come up for prayer? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise. Don't allow the things around you to ever get inside of you. God will take you from glory to glory as you still trust Him and you still rely on Him. And the change that you have been praying for is on its way, and it will be as suddenly.
it will be a suddenly. The times that you have prayed have not gone in vain. I have ever heard every word and have seen every tear.
Praise the Lord.
As you have stood in the gap and interceded, it will be. Now, Father, I thank you for strength to stand. Strength to stand. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Father God.
Praise.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Does anyone else want to come up for prayer?
Praise.
All you need is one word from the Lord.
Praise.
Amen. One word from the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank
Praise
you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Danny and Rita, would y'all come up here? This is hard for me to do, but I feel like the anointing is on this. Would you all come up here, please? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. O re baba shoto sinda da deli diado do conto re baba sonto shendele diado soto re mababa haya. Meme mababa soto yene diado do dona da la masia. Shota re baba bakia da to soto nda da deli dia son do do dea nda da da baba sia. Shota yene diado do koma mababa haya. Danny, I just hear the Lord saying that his word is inside of you, because there was a period of time that you really got into the Word and you began to sift through the Scriptures and things. And he said, at that time, that has not been in vain. It's there. It's there. And it's like that incubator of time that I was talking about. I feel the Lord saying that this is the season that you're coming out of the incubator, that the incubator of time is over with, that you have an anointing upon you to bring forth that Word. Not, I don't sense behind the pulpit, but in the workplace and wherever you go, because one word could change somebody's life. One word can change somebody's life. And I hear that God said he's beginning to stir a fire up within you again, and you're going to begin to sense a passion for that word and for the anointing and for the gifts of God. And I sense that this is your season. And this is your time. Yesterday, anointing. Now is a new anointing and a fresh anointing coming upon you both for this time. And Father God, I thank you for that right now in the name of Jesus. I thank you for stirring that up within him strong and mightily, God. Strong and mightily, Father God. I thank you for a fresh wind of your Holy Spirit, Lord, that's going to begin to be renewed
begin to be renewed. Yes, God, there it is. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. One word from God can change your life. Amen. One word from God can begin to set things into motion, begin to bring change. Amen. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. No longer will it be I can't, but I can. Because I realize it's not me. It's the anointing that's upon you and within you. Amen. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. The sweet presence of the Holy Spirit here right now. Just allow Him to minister to you. Let Him speak that word into your heart. Let Him speak that word into your spirit. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let the God of peace be big in you. The God of peace be big in you. One thing I found out, church, when you're trusting God, you're never going to be anywhere any longer than God wants you to be. And you're never going to leave any sooner than God wants you to leave. I don't care what anybody else does around you or anybody else says. 2-3 years ago, they started talking about our budget of elder care. Hasn't fazed me. It never has and never will. Then they came about a month ago and said that we were closing the doors October the 31st. And I'd been telling the girls down there for a long time, don't worry about it. Trust God. You'll be here as long as God wants you to be, and you won't be here a day sooner than God wants you to be. So someone asked me the other day, well, you know, Shirley, why did you think that we're closing? I said, well, I think that I'm here, and I was here for Miss Draper to have a place to come to and to be loved on for a while. Then she went on home to be with the Lord, so it's time for us to close. As far as the people down there, they're going to find a good place to go to so they can be loved on and taken care of too. So God has you in a specific place for a specific time for a specific reason. And if He wants you there the rest of your life, praise God for it. But I have found out through all my life I've never been anywhere no sooner than God wanted me to be. And I've never left no sooner than God wanted me to leave. I don't care what the boss said. I don't care where the higher authority said. Amen. And I'm telling you, church, when the anointing comes upon you, you can be bold. When I went over to the clinic, they all began, their main office, they began to say, what are y'all going to do? What are y'all going to do? I said, I'm trusting God because Adonta don't own me, and they shouldn't own you. You've got a place where you earn a paycheck, and that's all it is. Amen. And while you're there, you believe God that you're ministering to somebody. Amen. And when one door closes, another one will open. Because that's just God, and that's just how He does things. But it's our time to be still and to know that He is God. Be still and know that He is God. Amen. God has a great big plan, a great big purpose for you, and sometimes we don't dream big enough. We want to dream just within our, you know, this here. And God wants us to dream a lot bigger. A lot bigger. So I told them, I said, you know what's exciting about it? If God already knew this was going to close, so He's already working on something, has been for a long time. You know what he's doing? I told them, I said, he's just arranging people, situations, circumstances to make a place for me. So wherever I'm going, these people don't know what's happening, but they're just making room for me. Hallelujah, because that's the kind of God I serve. Amen. And wherever I'm at, I'll just have to start prophesying. I'll be here as long as you want me to, God, and I will, you know. And there's only three of us work down there, and God's already provided for them a place. It's not that I'm not concerned about other people's employment, you know, because I've prayed and they've already got somewhere to go. Amen. That's just God, church. That's just having a relationship with God because you're in covenant with Him. Because you're too stressed to be, you're too blessed to be stressed. I ain't got time to be stressed. Amen. That's right. God is your source and not your job. He's just provided you that job. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Let's stand. Go and be blessed this week. Touch somebody's life. Give somebody a smile. Give somebody a hug. And when you do, the anointing on you will rub off on them and they'll leave and they don't know what's happening. Amen. But be blessed this week and know that you're highly favored of the Lord. Amen.